Hey everyone, welcome back. So we watched stuff 180, and I am Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on this fine Monday morning?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my Monday morning. I finished reading an article in the New York Times about how the taxi cab business collapsed, and waiting for the next show people are going to find to get mad about at the end.
So wait, the taxi? Wait, what? Taxi cab industry has collapsed?
Has collapsed. It's been a big thing. Yeah. And it happened before Uber came. No, I first read about it because Michael Cohen was involved in it. And I was reading about that. Like, basically, you know, the whole, back in the 30s, you had to have a medallion to be like an official taxi driver. So that was always kind of like the thing. And then in the 2000s, they start treating that like the housing market, like inflating the cost of it and inflating the value. So a few people got rich, and a lot of people got broke.
Damn.
And a lot of people got scammed out. Like, you know, you signed it, like, and they were really hitting immigrants too. Like, oh, they're thinking about, you know, trying to buy a car, a taxi, and then they signed this, you know, interest-only loan where they're only paying money off the interest. And then after, like, 2 years, the bank's calling, like, oh, you haven't paid anything on the loan, and you owe $400,000.
Oh, I know all about that. That's what Elise does. Or did for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, I'd never heard of that before. Like, who the hell signs up for something that stupid? And she dealt with houses.
Yeah, because that's people who either didn't know any better or are desperate. That's how most people make money, is off of ignorance and desperation. Oh. That's how the world was built.
It's a banking industry as well, so in a nutshell. But, all right, well, I don't even know if we have – yeah, we have cabs here somewhere. But everyone takes Ubers. Or now the new thing is the scooters, the electric scooters. So. Yeah.
It's funny. I remember watching one of the Love and Hip Hop shows, and Ray J was talking about doing that because it's like a big market, and everybody was laughing at him. And then I went to Dallas, and that's all everybody was riding. I'm like, where are all these scooters coming from? And they would just ride them to where they were and leave them on the ground and keep walking.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm like, wow, this is actually a thing.
Yeah, and people drive them drunkenly. Yeah, and they don't go slow. I mean, if you're walking at a leisurely pace, or like an aggressive pace, I meant to say, they'll blow right by you. And you're like, how fast are those things going? You don't need any permit to drive it. And I'm not saying you have to, but after I see what some of these people do with them, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there needs to be some sort of licensing for these things, but then again, that's why they're cheap too. So, and the injuries you can sustain, one of the guys at the gym got a concussion falling off of one. So, but oh well, and that's why I stick to walking or riding my bike. But all right, so we were talking about right before we started Money in the Bank, Game of Thrones. They were out at the same time, and we both ditched Money in the Bank for Game of Thrones. So. Let's get into that first. Well, I guess we'll start with, I don't want to say the bad, but it wasn't that good. So it kind of goes back to what we were talking about just last Friday when the show, about Danny's heel turn, essentially, and everything that went around with it.
Okay. I have thoughts about that because I was thinking about it this morning. It's one, I could tell by the way we talked, I liked it more than you. Two, people been saying, like, you know, her heel turn and how she became a tyrant. It's hard for me to really say that with a straight face, knowing American history. Because what's the difference between her and us? Like how we've done business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look how people are treating that.
Look at it. Like, her whole thing is, I mean, we've had discussions. I've always told people that the difference between good and bad is perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And her whole thing is like, you know, because I was watching this, and at first I'm rolling out like, they really trying to make her out like they just turn into the Empire. Like, I'm waiting for Luke to come out with a lightsaber.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like, right?
Like, you have all these troops, and you got the flag there in the ashes, and then she's walking out, and you see the dragon wings at first.
Yeah.
And it's like the visual was cool. Like, they just really hammering home. And at first I was just chuckling, like, they really being heavy-handed. But then I'm like, aren't most people heavy-handed when it comes to stuff like that? Because I think about us on Independence Day and, you know, Memorial Day and stuff. And then her whole speech is like, you know, I want to free you know, slaves everywhere and deal with tyranny everywhere. And if whoever's in my way, I'm going to handle them. Doesn't matter. Like, all over the world type things. And you see, like, Tyrion and Jon Snow looking like, oh, this, I know this was part of, like, I see what you did here. This ain't part of the plan that I signed up for. And it's, but I'm like, we use that justification all the time. And, you know, yep. United States does a lot of talking about how bad nuclear weapons are. They're the only country that used them on people. And they actually used them on people. And they justify saying, well, you know, they're using innocence as a shield. This is the quickest way to end this. And this will save American lives. And if you're American, you're like, okay, I can justify, I can get that. If you are, if you like from Japan, you like, yeah, now, you know, I don't have a leg anymore. And neither will my son and grandson. So, like I say, so it's a perspective viewpoint. Like, her viewpoint, she feels like she's doing the right thing. And Terry made a big point saying we were cheering her when she was killing bad people. Mm-hmm. It's more than just bad people anymore. And I'm like, yeah, it's bad people to us. Like, you know, it's easy, like, you know, it's easy to cheer for somebody doing bad things when you feel like it's justified.
Yeah.
And it got to the point now where it's like, okay, we don't feel like it's justified anymore, so we got to put an end to it. People been saying that for, like, a long time, like, since the show started. And we weren't, you know, it's like, he being a worry word, or we ain't listening. Like, you know, the whole the Breaking Bad thing. Let me get back to my fun. Like, let me get to see Walter White do these cool things, even though I know deep down we're rooting for the wrong person. Like, Skylar, like, we treated Skylar White like, you know, she was a curmudgeon hoping she'd die. And her only thought was being a flawed woman trying to stop an even more flawed man. Trying to, you know, prevent him from having his fun and us enjoying it. And it was the same thing with Daenerys up until this season, until it was like, okay, her fun went a little too far. And now it's like, we got to put an end to it.
See, I think it's... All right, see, I didn't have any problems with any of this stuff. I was like, all right, you see this. And the... I like the idea that, yeah, him saying, like, yeah, we were fine, she was doing bad, killing bad people. But then, I mean, they got a point, like, well, wait a minute. She just murdered... I mean, they were very heavy-handed, showing, like, the toy in the child's hand and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then, like... I'm just going to say it like this. I'm hoping you figure out what I'm saying. Like, when they were executing the soldiers or whatever, I'm not in the military. I've never understood that. Like, yeah, why are you keeping them around? So I was kind of with, like, Grey Worm and that, like, yeah, just, no, get rid of them. But, and I know, it's like the context of the show, but still. And when it was just, when she was, like, going to Dorne, and she didn't go to Dorne, I'm sorry. Where did she... murder all the... It was all the High Guard people. And then, like, let the slaves go or whatever. But then they had to put them back in. What city was that?
Either Marine or S or Yunkai.
Okay, because yeah.
She did it in both cities, matter of fact. It's like, she burned them in one city and crucified them in another one.
That's right. Yes. Yes, because weren't they... It was kind of like a Game of Thrones ending where they were all just on the road or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... I kind of saw the point, but... Especially when there was no coming back for her. I mean, John tried, I guess, which is where this all kind of... My big problem with the show, with the episode, was the entire killing off of Daenerys. Because you called it last week, we were both trying to figure out how someone's going to get close to her. So she's walking through the city, I guess, or not walking through the city, but she's sitting on top by herself... No one's around? Like, I know the dragon's outside,
yeah.
But... It's,
the dragon's outside. Who's... I mean, like, the dragon's outside. The only people that are alive are, like, her forces. So, that part didn't surprise. I'm like, okay. So, even if somebody snuck by all these Dothraki and Unsullied, it's still a dragon that's hiding in the snow. Like, yeah. That's why people have guard dogs.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, it's a... Jeremy, it's a dragon.
I understand that. No. I understand the whole what you're saying, but still, you would still. I mean, look at everything look at everything she's okay. been through. Do you think they're like, yeah, we're still going to protect
nobody,
you a little bit?
That's the whole thing. There's no protect you from who? There's nobody left in the city?
But she was already pissed off at people betraying her, and now you know,
I got a dragon.
Well, you know what? And he didn't come in real handy. So, but, again, you got to have a backup plan for your backup plan that needs a backup plan.
It's like if you're going to trust anybody, you're going to trust somebody that's from your bloodline that you have sex with.
They show all those people, and they couldn't have one person up there, even outside the door. It was like, come on.
And what would the dude at the door would have done?
Wait.
Let's just say it's two guards. Okay, let's say it's two guards that's there at the door, and they're out there hugging and kissing, not realizing that he had a knife hitting and stabs her. Okay, so they're there. She's still dead.
I don't think he gets up there. That's the thing.
Okay. Why not? He's Jon Snow.
Because she was just questioning it. She was like,
no,
you know.
She was. She had issues with.
Okay, I see how it is.
Yeah, but it's kind of like he's still walking around.
She just gave him a dirty look 10 seconds earlier when they were outside. Now all of a sudden everything's hunky-dory?
I think you can. I think you're kind of like. You're treating the way. You're thinking about.
It's bad.
No, it's not. Because she's treating. How she treated Tyrion is a lot different than how she treated Jon Snow, because it's like, you know, she's mad at Jon Snow, but she still loves him. She didn't love Tyrion. And Tyrion, like, not only betrayed it, and basically kind of, like, threw the whole, you know, threw the hand down, like, yeah, I did it. You burnt the city. What you gonna do? And all the soldiers watching. Like, she can't let that. Like, that's a whole level of disrespect. Like, yeah, take care of that. She still loved Jon Snow. Like, love is still love. I know you like, hey, I'm mad, so that go out the way. That's not how love works. That's not how love works. And John's whole speech, knowing that, you know, she got to be dealt with, but not want to do it because he loves her, is like, that's human nature. Because he knows, like, yeah. Because look how he's trying to justify, you know, and Tyrion's like, you know, she killed kids. It's like, you know, she didn't mean it. Come on now. Like, even when he was saying it, he knew how it sounded. But we make stupid justifications when it comes to love.
Yeah, and Tyrion also knew he was a goner. He knew as soon as he let Jaime go, he was a dead man. Unless, you know, unless Jaime gets away, no one finds out. So it's like, yeah, it's a devil level of disrespect, but he had nothing to lose either. So it's not like it was out of the spur of the moment thing. It was like, eh, well, I'm done. So yeah. But no, it rang so hollow for somebody who, you know, had gone about the way she had to just get. I was going to say taken out the way she did, because I guess, but it's the same thing with Cersei and Jaime. You expected something bigger.
But
a little backwards, I guess.
I think it's like, what were people expecting? With her.
That's exactly it, too. And like, maybe a few more seasons to flush some shit out, too. Wouldn't have hurt.
Thing is, of course, the season could have been longer. We all said that. Of course, they couldn't rush it. But, like, knowing how the season went by and knowing what we dealt with, I don't know how they could have done an episode that would have satisfied everybody.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't possible.
And I'm like, you know, because Daenerys living, would that would have made people feel better? Like, people complain about the show, like, you know, the show subverts things and yada, yada, yada. How do they want the show to end? Daenerys is just going to conquer the world, and Jon is there, like, I guess I'm going to go along with it. Let me go ahead and go find, because the thing that really led Jon to, like, that final decision was the whole Tyrion's, like, you know, yeah, you justifying all this. You know he gonna do that to your sisters. What you gonna do? Like, you know, that's when it's like, okay, well, you know, love is love, loyalty is loyalty. And that whole, you know, banish, like, you know, love is the enemy of loyalty. Love is the enemy of doing things. And that's been human nature for the longest time. A lot of times you can't do both. And that's been John's story for the longest. Like, choosing doing the right thing over himself. That's been him since Jump Street. Yeah. Like, he started off that way, and he ended that way.
Yeah, at least he got some along the way, too. That wouldn't have even sadder, but... All right, so then we get... So then Jon Snow's just captured, which I'm surprised. I was actually surprised about this whole thing. I thought he would have just been dead. Like, Grey Worm finds him, and they took him prisoner again. And I guess because...
Jon told him. That's the only way they knew.
That's exactly what I was going to try and figure out. Is how the hell did they even know, besides your being dead?
Because he told them. Because how else would they know? There's no body. There's no dragon. The only person was there was Jon Snow. So he could have said, oh, she went on a ride somewhere. And by the time they figure out what's going on, and, like, you know, he'd been long gone. But he's a man of honor, like a dummy, and he told him.
Like a dummy.
And that show, being honorable, is like, honor only works when both people believe in honor. Otherwise, you're just at a disadvantage. That show reinforced that. And yet, yeah, dumb people like that still did it. So that's there. And then you like you see the time change. And then Tyrion is out. You're wondering what's going on. Like, okay, you wonder, well, who's running? Like, you wonder who's running things because you know Daenerys is dead. So at first you're thinking, like, you know, is Jon Snow there with him? And then you see everybody else. And it's like, oh. So, like, what's going on? Like, what's going on here? And then that leads to, like, you know, basically the second half of the show.
Which I actually didn't mind, except I didn't mind Brandon Braun, whatever they want to call him.
Brandon Broken.
Becoming the king or whatever.
What a name for a king. Brandon Broken.
Yeah. Brandon the Broken. Like, okay. And I didn't mind that. I was like, kind of came out of the blue. I like Sansa holding firm that, no, we're staying independent. I like that a lot. And then they said the six kingdoms instead of the seven now.
Mm-hmm.
It was still felt weird. Like, I missed something, because why was Tyrion brought there? Because he's one of the lords?
They were trying to figure out what to do with him, yes. And technically, he's like, you know, he's the head of, you know, House Lannister. He's the only one that's left alive.
I would have thought he would have been disqualified, you know?
I mean, why?
Well, the whole, you know, usurping the kingdom and all that stuff.
But she's dead.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's how it works. Like, rebellion's only rebellion until you win. Then it's manifest destiny. Like, the only reason it was an issue because Grey Worm and the Unsullied was there. But other than that, it's kind of like, you know, the person that normally would have punished them isn't around anymore. We just got to kind of find this compromise, because we still got this army there, and they found like their best compromise, considering, because, like, you know, if we fight it out, neither side wins. Do we really want to keep fighting? Like, that was the whole point of all this. I did laugh at the whole thing when Sam Tar tried to bring up democracy, and they just, yes, all laughed out the room, like, oh, you're gonna have the horse have a vote.
I mean, even that goofy, what was the one kid's name, the little he was the little kid.
Yeah, I know you're talking about
him. Even he laughed, and it was like, this dipshit's laughing? Like, oh boy. And I'm trying to figure out if that was the same actor or not.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tommy,
wow,
just
crazy.
Puberty's a thing.
That's crazy. I mean, I guess it's been that long since he was on last.
It's been a couple seasons, probably like, what, 3-4 years?
His Bron came back looking like a man after being a kid for the entire time, so. Yeah, that scene was fine, but I'm like, Grey Worm tells Tyrion he's not supposed to talk at all, and then he's the only one talking. I'm like, this is just weird.
I mean, what Grey Worm's going to do, kill him? Like, he was,
honestly,
like,
I fully expected Grey Worm to kill somebody, either Jon or Tyrion. I really did.
Yeah,
like he has no one to answer to. Remember, they're free folk now.
Yeah, his whole thing was, he could tell he had a lot of anger, but he was like, you know what, the hell with all this. Like, his, because he was ready to peace out anyway, even before Daenerys died. It's like, you know, do I really want to, because him and Miss Sandy talking about, we really want to be fighting these strange wars and everything like that. It's like, when stuff's settled, let's just go back home. Like, it was that talk even before that. So after, you know, his queen, like, he doesn't have any ties anymore. Like, at that point, it's like, you go, once justice is done, as best it's going to be done, to hell with you people. I'm out.
Alright, so where did they end up going? Because I think that was supposed to be like a, oh, they're going there moment, and I didn't get it.
Going to Miss Andrew's home.
Okay. Knew it was supposed to have importance. It just went over my head. Didn't even think. So
yeah.
Well,
so they're like, I think I just laughed, like, who's there sitting at, you know, the small council. Like,
oh, what a,
you see how this council. You see how the show started, and you see all those quote unquote dignified people, and then it ends. And you got Sam, Bronn, Brienne, and Davos with King Bran Stark and Tyrion.
And Tyrion looking none too happy.
Because he didn't want that job. It's like, the whole thing's like, I know you don't want it. You know, it's like you spent all this time messing up, and now you're going to fix what you messed up.
Well, at least it sounds like they're going to get brothels back, so he's going to have somewhere to hang out again. So there's a positive there.
Least priorities.
As soon as they had the meeting, I'm like, are they going to show it, or are they just going to show Tyrion, you know, stuck? And then that motley crew came in, and I just went, oh, boy. And then the fact that he has no place in history.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. That was rough, because you're like, he's had to be, what, the most popular character on the show?
One of them. You'd think? Top three, probably. It's him, Daenerys, and Jon.
Yeah, and in the crux
and then
of the
like
show,
then Cersei and Jaime like right underneath that. So
yeah, but no, it's like, so in the crux of that, I mean, I guess it's just because we watched the show, he's gonna get nothing like that. I think isn't that a bigger punishment than for him at least than having to sit there as the Hand?
Hey, right, you can write another edition.
Well, no, Sam has to this time.
I'm sure they can work on that. Yeah, so just hearing them, you know, talk about how we're going to build this and build that. And it's kind of like, on one hand, it's like, it's the same thing we saw. But then it's like, in no way those people would have ever had that power under normal circumstances. Because right. The whole thing is like, you know, it's not going to be a family thing anymore. It's going to be like who we feel is the best. And those people that are alive are probably like the best to do it. Like, but it's just funny. Bronn was just this dude that gave up his room for Tyrion for some money, and it was just a hired mercenary. And now he's like one of the most powerful men in the kingdom. He got his castle, he got his kingdom. He's met, like, everything he wanted to get, he got. And how many people on the show could say that?
He got that in that. Well, no, he never got a wife, did he?
I'm sure he can. I'm sure
yeah,
he can
yeah,
find
I'm sure
a wife
he can buy
now.
One yeah. now. Yeah, it was funny. It's I guess that would have been a perfect place to talk about the main subject, but. It was fun seeing him again, because he wasn't in it for the last two seasons very often. Because I mean, why would he? You know, but his appearances were great. Just kind of like, I guess, is that what Euron was supposed to be? Just kind of like shows up here and there, causes chaos and goes.
Because they're a different thing. Because Bronn in the book isn't as fleshed out as he is on the show.
Okay.
So, like, he's there, but it's not, like, you know, made, like, it's not as much. So, I think it's one of those, like, you know, the actor was so good at it and had so much chemistry, we're going to find stuff to do with him. And it worked. Yeah. So, and it definitely worked, because you saw us, like, I remember him from season one and then all the stuff they went through. So, to see him at the end, like, basically happy. With, like, these group of people, you would never think being together, like, what would him, Davos, and, like, you know, Brienne have in common.
Yeah, I seriously thought Davos was a goner.
Like, Survivor.
Yeah, and I...
That's been his story.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. That's what you forget. And, yeah, so he's still around, and... what was it? When they were sitting there, the 7, 8, whatever they were, they're all sitting there, and he goes, I'm not sure I'm even supposed to be up here. Like, looking around. I guess he was representing Stannis? The Baratheons?
I mean, no, Gendry's there.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot.
So
yeah,
so he's just there, like, as you know, like, people know he's important, but it's not like from like a rulership type thing. It's more like an experience type thing, and I think that's kind of like what the show was emphasizing at the end. Like, too many times we worry about titles and people just being in a position because of like their name, and it's like, you know, some of those people are here because they did stuff and they earned the right to be here, and that's how we're gonna run stuff. Like, look at Sansa. Look how she started.
Yes.
The show.
That was a cool ending for her, too.
And then look at her, like, you know, she grew up. She basically became her mom, but yes. Did more than her parents ever did as far as, like, securing the North and being his own thing.
Cost a lot, but yeah. And then, was it Aya goes off to, I love the line, I'm going to west of Westeros. And they're like, why? She goes, that's where the map ends. No one's ever gone. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, she talked about it a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, so.
Wanted to do that.
That was pretty cool. I liked her ending. I liked Sansa's ending. What'd you feel about Jon's ending?
I thought it was perfect for his character.
Okay, this is what I want to ask you, though.
In relation to the universe the show has built.
Okay. So, Tormund says, even told him earlier, listen, you don't belong with these people, right? And Jon's like, no, I gotta do this, whatever. All right. I was losing my mind when they said that they're sending him to the Night's Watch into the wall. And I'm yelling, going, there's no fucking wall. Like, why do you need the Night Watch anymore? I was confused. I guess
that's the point.
Yeah. And then when Tormund's inside, I went, did they take it over? And then just realized it was all a setup from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that made up for it.
Because they did take over the Night's Watch. Because the rest of the Night's Watch had died. That's Tor made that joke, like, we're the Night's Watch now. Like, either last season or season before. So, yeah, that was whole thing where everybody wasn't privy to all the information. So they're looking at it as, like, an old-school punishment. Because the Unsullied don't know.
Yeah, that's
so, like, yeah but kind of... Poor guy. He's like, I just don't want to see him again. And, like, John doesn't have anything left. It's like, you know... Word gonna come out what he did, and some people gonna look at him as a hero, and some people gonna look at him as a villain. Because it wasn't just Unsullied; like Yara was looking at it too. Like, you know, I swore loyalty to this woman, and that's what happened. Like, nah, get him off the paint. And she brought it. And it's funny, like the whole like bonds and oaths are important to people, and we tend to agree with them when it's rooting for people that we like. And it becomes a problem. Like Jamie's whole thing is like, you know, you swear oath to this person, you swear oath to that person, you swear oath to this, and soon or later they all come in conflict and you don't know who to serve. And you like at the end of the day you're gonna disappoint somebody.
See, I took the ending with John as he was supposed to go to the Night Watch, I don't know, restarted, I guess, or something like that. And then Tormund was there, and that's why he turned around, he just looked like no one's gonna stop me, like from leaving. So that was like his final, like he broke like his word or broke his oath, whatever you want to call it. But he finally was like, the hell with this, and just went.
I mean, he don't have it. This whole thing is like he basically saved the king, like save Westeros, and no one's going to know.
Yeah, well, like, save Westeros like, from the outside forces.
I mean, from a queen that was going to burn, not just Westeros, a queen that planned on burning down the world to free everybody. True. And nobody's going to. And nobody's going to know. You're just going to be some guy with some wildlands. It's like, oh, this dude. No one's going to, like, you know, all those letters they were sent out. How many people know who he really is? Some people know, but like, that's not common knowledge right now. So it's just going to be like some bastard that just, you know, fade away.
And no one's going to know where to find him either. Mm-hmm. So I liked it wrapped up. It was... I think the show brought back some unpredictability. And I'm glad that they showed, even though it was a little far-fetched, they showed the bodies of Cersei and Jaime, which would have been absolutely crushed, but so that you couldn't have like people going, no, they're still alive. Like, well, no, they're not. So, but yeah, Tyrion got the worst of it. I mean, his city burns, his family's gone.
I would argue that Jon got a little worse, but...
But Jon gets to be free, though.
Okay, but yeah, he'll never see his family again. He'll never be around the people that he's with again. Like, you know, he's going to be like Tormund and all them cool. Like, they're going to look at him as a hero, but it's like, you know, I'm going to be in the wilderness and forgotten. And I had to kill the woman that I loved. And that's the second time I indirectly or directly caused the death of the woman I love. So it's like, okay, he's got his life. Cool. Tyrion got his life too. Tyrion gonna be like, you know, doing stuff, doing important stuff. He may not want to do it, but I bet you he wouldn't switch places with Jon.
In his eyes, no. But I think in the eyes of most people who watch the show, I think they're gonna say Tyrion got it worst. Worse. So, I don't know. There's a certain... Because Tyrion just wanted to, you know, I don't want to say be alone. That's not the right word, but... He just wanted to be his own now.
He had his chance.
Yeah, now he just can't win.
But here's the thing. He had his chance to do that multiple times. And he kept saying, like, I'm addicted to this. I can't do anything without this. And it got to the point where his family died and he was heartbroken by a woman he also loved.
Yes.
Where it's like, that's why I'm getting away. But before that, it's like, you know, I'm trying to do things, write things for the world. Jon Snow was just trying to, like, you know, like we say, when he came back to life, he's like, don't bring me back again. Like, that whole thing is kind of like, you know, I just want to do what needs to be done and then just be left alone. Tyrion wanted to be like a part of something. Jon just wanted to get stuff done. So it's funny, like, Tyrion has more power than he ever wanted or ever thought he'd have. And now it's at the point where he doesn't really want it, which often happens in history. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I guess. First two guys who won't ever experience that. So,
hey, I'm sure our current president never thought he'd be president.
That's true. So,
and I'm sure it's a part of him that for all the talk and all the bluster stuff like that, I'm sure there's a big part of him that wishes he never got that position.
Oh, I think there's a giant part of it.
Because it's like, that name's going to be dirt after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
well, it'll be dirt to some.
It's gonna be dirt the most. I mean, it's gonna be a few that's cool with it, but it's like a lot of that has weight because you're president. You ain't president no more, and you wasn't a good one. It's like, how many people talk about the good old days of Gerald Ford?
Does anyone talk about Gerald Ford?
Exactly.
Not even speaking ill the will or ill the dead, but
like people don't brag about being a Reagan now. Like they might miss those days when he was president, but nobody be like, yeah, got their chest all out. Like, yeah, and it's a large population that actually liked him because it was a bigger population that did. So it's like, yeah, you don't want to be somewhere like 10, 15 years from now. Like we made the joke about last week. Like, yeah, imagine being named Khaleesi and you explain that like 2024 and people go on like Wikipedia like, oh, you mean that woman that went mad? And
like, your parents were assholes and named you after a TV show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's people named Fonzie, so.
I know. Yeah, so, no.
Yeah, but it's funny, though, because she was in an interview, and she was looking at it like, she didn't look at it as mad. She just looked at it as like a character that believed in what she thought was right and was, like, molded by everything that happened to her. And if you look at all the stuff that happened, she got a point. And, like, in the nature of the show, is she, like, the whole thing is she that wrong? Because I remember Tywin making this whole argument at the Red Wedding and Tyrion's getting on him talking about how wrong it was. And Tywin was like, what's so, you trying to tell me, like, having tens and hundreds of thousands of soldiers dying in a battle is more honorable than a whole bunch of people dying at dinner?
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, we focus on the whole number. Like, we focus on the numbers and it's like that. Like, oh, it's tragic that kids die. Kids die in war all the time. And people justify saying, like, yeah, those kids died, but they were going to die something anyway. I'd rather they die than my people die. And that happens in real life. That's happened throughout history in real life. And we only justify it if we're on the quote-unquote good side.
Well, we're getting a little dark now. So,
That show's dark. That show started with it ending with a brother and sister having sex and the brother
throwing a kid out of a window.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Jon Snow was one of the heroes of the story and he hung a little boy who committed treason.
That kid was a dick.
So what? If Ali was nice, like Ali was a dick because the guy he looked up to kind of turned on him and was rolling with the people that murdered his family.
Yep, screw him.
Yeah, it's funny how we justify that. Like, people like, oh, it's a shame what they did with Jamie. He's redeeming himself. Was he?
Okay, yeah, I never caught that at all. It was
anything
for his family. That's not redeeming yourself.
I'm like, yeah, he was nice to Brienne. Yes, him and Bronn got along, but he was still talking about, like, I'll catapult children to help me get back to Cersei.
Yeah.
That happened way before he left Brienne, but it's like, we like Jaime. He went through some stuff, and he's handsome, so it's cool. We always make justifications for people when we like them. We do that in real life, and we definitely do that in TV and movies. So I never tell you about how to feel about shows. And it was definitely a lot of complaints about it. I had some. I didn't have the same amount of vitriol. And my thing is, I want to say I'm detached, but I have a job where I deal with life and death situations on a daily basis. So I don't get as worked up about that stuff. Not because it's not important, because it doesn't have an impact. It's just different. And I don't have that whole bloodthirst. Like, that show's a bloodthirsty show that kind of brings out bloodthirstiness of people. And with my job, I can't indulge in that like that. Because it's just like, it's different. Like, it's, we can wrap up like this. You see, like, a little midget little girl get smashed by a giant. It's like, oh, well, at least she went out like a champ. Yeah, it's cool to you, like, think about that. Like, this is a show we had little, like, children dying. Like, it was no big deal. And it's like, oh, well, that's just the nature of the thing. And where my position, I can't have that mindset because it's like, not. Still, it's like, I get the idea behind the show when it comes to stuff like that, but I don't share that whole, that's why I wasn't like a big thing, like Cersei should have got more. Like, I don't need to see Cersei get stabbed 15 times in a night fight. I don't need to get set on fire. Like, enough of that. Like, I get why people want to see that, and I get the emotional release. I personally don't have that, so stuff like that doesn't bother me the way it bothers other people. But I acknowledge that. So I don't really get on people for feeling that way. I just kind of laugh at them.
I can understand people wanting that to happen just because, you know, how awful she was. And that was another thing. She wasn't in the season very, very much.
Nope.
So, it, like, the ending, it's... I'm not going to say if you tuned in this season only, because why would you? That you wouldn't understand the hate. But, yeah, I can see people's rationale for wanting a worse death for her. So, but not getting it, that's what you kind of learn to expect from the show. The bad people never really got terrible endings.
Yeah, for the most part. So, that's how it works in real life. Like, you know.
Well, now let's get on to the happy stuff. I purposely didn't talk to you too much this weekend because I wanted to save it all. So you went and saw John Wick 3 Parabellum, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Jack Wick Parabellum. Oh, my God.
Who the hell is Jack Wick his cousin? You said it right the first time.
Didn't you catch that? Yeah, I know. I'm getting on the vacations, so I'm mentally shutting down. So, luckily, this will snap me back, obviously. John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum. That's what I was trying to do. You saw it Thursday night. Said I was really going to like it. I saw it Friday night, and that movie's fucking awesome. That's probably my favorite one of the three. Just for the ludicrous nature of the fights. I mean, we all saw in the preview, they're fighting on motorcycles. You told me to watch out for books, so as soon as the movie started, and they're... spoilers. So as soon as they're in the library, I'm like, oh, all right, this has got to be it. Wow, man. All right, now that was a basketball player, right?
He plays on the Sixers.
Oh, yes. He does? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, he does. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, at least he plays basketball, so he wasn't terrible, but...
I mean, think about, considering the fact that he's a foreigner, you know, where English isn't his first language, nothing else, like, he didn't seem, like, it seemed natural. Like, he said his lines, it was believable, and that's, like, right. How many 7'3 actors you know?
True. Yeah, like, where's George Muir? Where's George Muir on? Or Manute Bol? So,
well, Manute Bol is R.I.P. That's what Manute Bol is.
No, his son.
Yes, he is.
Really?
Yes, his son.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. That's terrible.
Yeah, his son is going to be in the NBA draft this year. So, but no.
Wow. Yeah. No, I did not know that. Man, it was 2 weeks in a row. You're bumming me out about stuff. Shit.
Jeremy, he's been dead for a long time.
No, seriously, has he really been gone for a long time?
Yes.
What happened to him? He wasn't an old guy.
You don't got to be old to be dead.
Well, no, obviously not, but... God damn. Yeah, that Ashley Massaro stuff really bummed me out after we were done last week, because I didn't know that. So, now I'm looking up... It's going to be something easy. Manute Bol death. Actually, that's the third search item that Google pulls up.
Yeah, he's been dead for about 9 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I'm noticing. Well, all right, well... Sorry.
But no. It's kind of like, okay, when you saw it, how was the theater? Like, is my people there or stuff like that?
It was sold out. A bunch of white and gray haired old people. What the hell? You said that. I'm like, that's really weird. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Like a whole group of them, like six or seven. We went to a 7:30 show, so it wasn't even a matinee. I mean, that was so weird.
I've learned from watching Liam Neeson and Equalized movies that older people love watching violence from people around their age group. I have realized that.
I mean, Keanu's only 50-something years old. He ain't that.
But still in the 50s. It's like, you know, people know Keanu Reeves for a long time. He's been doing this for a long... He's, what, late 80s, early 90s?
Oh, yeah. I actually went through... They had some... thing about Keanu Reeves in the cast John Wick, asking how many movie credits he has. And someone said 125. He has 94.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
He's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's been successful for a long time. So, I learned that, especially, like, seeing Eagle. I'm like, there's a lot of old people in here for this type of violent movie. I was like, they like Denzel. They like violence. Old people love violence.
Yeah. And it did unseat Avengers, right?
Yes, it did. Okay. Oh, yeah, it did. It did almost double what the last one did, which is amazing for a third movie. Like, they normally don't have that type of rock. Like, someone was doing a comparison box office. The only franchise that had, like, a similar type of, like, box office run was, like, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, wow. Like, those like are progressively worse, too.
Yeah, like, jump, exactly. Like, jump from first to second as box office. Like, because it basically doubled from the first one to the second one. And this one almost doubled from the second to the third one. And that's hard. Like, and it's a, like, you know, it's an R-rated, like, $57 million for an R-rated movie. Action movie is a lot of money.
And
like,
a hard R as well.
Yeah. So. And it's like they said, it's Keanu's second biggest opening behind The Matrix Reloaded, which is also an R-rated movie. So it's funny how that works. But anyway, like, you know, I went there seven, and it was like a full house, mix of crowd, you know, mostly old people. And, you know, the movie starts and, like, you got the hour thing. And as soon as I saw Boban there, I was like, okay. You don't have somebody this tall, they're not having a fight scene. I know when he killed him with that book, people was like, it was a lot of scenarios in the movie. People was doing a lot of gasping and saying, holy shit. Because it was just like, the violence was violent.
Yeah, they really amped it up in this one. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, okay, so the book, like, and I'm going to get into this with a lot of the movie. I don't understand how they did some of that stuff. And what I mean is, they had the guy in the library, he dislocated his jaw. And it was immediate. Like, I couldn't see, like, a cut or any of that stuff. And you later on in the movie, with the shotguns, like, taking the helmets off. Well, I'm sorry, taking their heads off in the helmets. Seamless. And I'm sitting there going, I don't understand this.
When you figure that out, try to figure out how that whole eye stab one went.
Okay, I wanted to get that. That's why I saved that for last. How many movies have you seen where they tease that and it never happens?
Mm-hmm. Or if it happens, you don't see it.
Yeah. And this was, now, nice and slow, you're going to see the whole thing. And it's like,
see it and hear it.
Wow.
And I saw people, like, people was covering their face. Like, you watching it, but you, like, looking through one eye. Because, like, eyes is, like, stuff that will freak out anyway. Like, don't mess up my eye. Like, leave my eyes alone. Because, like, that's, out of all the, like, things you can tease, that's one of the worst ones. So you see that. Like, the whole scene is, like, you know, one, he builds the gun out of, like, four different old guns. And it's, like, you know, I'm breaking down windows, finding axes and knife fights. And that was, like, a long-ass fight.
Yes, and a fun fight, too.
And, yeah, you know, and then it's like you see the knife stab, and it's like a slow eye stab there, and then the guy that's laying on the ground, he just picks up an axe from halfway across the room, and woof, let's hit him square in the skull. And it's like, yeah, this is a violent movie. But of course, it's a movie where he goes to see the doctor, and as soon as like 6 minutes and 1 second, the doctor's like, well, you got to shoot me, so make this believable. And you got to make sure you shoot me twice just to be sure.
Yeah, and he's like, and don't hit the bang. I did like that. Like, all right, he's talking, just going to do it now. I won't expect it, so it'll be a little, it'll alleviate some of it, I suppose. But yeah, that, so I don't know. To get any sort of bad out of the way, I thought meeting the head of the table in the desert was a little strange. Like, it just came out of the blue. And then you start to question, well, wait a minute, is he just sitting there, or did he know he was coming, or... Any of this stuff, I mean, and then you go, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just funny, like, this one guy, like, you know, because, like, the high table always come off, like, these super culture, Eurocentric type, I'm in a suit and tie stuff, and then the big boss is a dude in the desert around camels.
Yeah, apparently got left there after Wonder Woman ended.
just chilling, and it's like, everybody's, like, bowing down, and, you know, each movie has added a little bit more to, like, the universe around it. And they've done it in a way where, even though they explain a lot of stuff, it's still a lot of stuff they don't explain. And it's like, you know, they don't explain everything. They explain just enough for you to be more intrigued, like how this happened. Because, you know, they have the, you know, back to like they have the knife fight and then in a stable and John Wick's using a horse to murder people.
That, okay. I was really, all right, I don't know what this says about me, but you know the movies too. I was really hoping that the horses were going to have something to do with it. And when he was slapping them in the ass, making them kick him in the helmet, I'm like, this is great. Like, okay, all right. Now, it's a little, I don't know much about horses other than I don't like them. And I was a little, not put off, but I was trying to figure out, well, how are they only scared, like, of this? Like, only scared when they hit him on the butt. Like, are they deaf or something?
No, horses are spooked by that. Like, that's happened in other movies, too.
Yeah, but they're shooting guns and stuff, you know? That's all I was expecting.
Like, yeah, I mean, but it's like, you know, they might be used to a gun with, like, a race start. Think about it, race horses.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so that they're probably used to. Somebody smacking them on the ass. Yeah. Like, that doesn't normally, and that's happened before, but not to that extent what's happened multiple times. But, like, of course, when you see him in their horse, John Wick's going to use a horse as a weapon, yep. And John Wick's riding on a horse through New York like it's no big thing, doing, like, you know, stunt shooting, because of course he is.
Yeah, I also, I don't know, maybe I'm just forgiven with these movies, because the action, the choreography, the imagination of the fight scenes is so overwhelmingly cool that I don't care. Like, he's fighting... He is riding a horse through New York City on asphalt. And I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
I mean, that's police horses.
Yeah, but they're not doing galloping, though. They're just there for crowd control. Those are the big ones.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he's right. Doing that long term. I'm sure this is just like a short little jaunt to, you know, get from point A to point B. So the horse will understand. So, yeah, it's like, and this happened within the first, 15, 20 minutes? Like, all this happens, and then, you know, he hits up with Angelica Houston. And it's funny, think about, you know, like, of course, Angelica Houston's older now. Funny thinking that she was Morticia Adams in those Adams Family movies. Mm-hmm. And I just remember how she looked in those movies. And it's just like, yeah, like, back in the day, she was, like, she was who she was. And it's, I guess it's hard comparison because Raul Julia has been gone for a long time himself.
Yes, I knew that.
So you can't do comparison. Then it's like you find out, like, you know, where he's from, like John Wick's name, his real name. And I never even thought about that. I just assumed it was.
Well, no, they said there was something about that they didn't know, like, what his real name was. They just knew him as Baba Yaga, John Wick. And then,
But when the last time you paid it, like, you never really thought about where he, I mean, you thought about where he came from. But not, they never really beat you over the head with it. So you see them there, and they do have a ballet school, and the lady is casually picking off her toenail, which happens because, you know, people make the joke like, this ain't ballet. Like, ballet is hard as hell on the body.
Yep.
Like, very, that is not no spectator, like, oh, a gentle sport. Gentle sport my ass. It ain't gentle on the figure. It ain't gentle on the body.
No. And, yeah, that's a Black Swan. Mm-hmm. And all that sort of stuff too, and it was like, oof. But yeah, that was part of the, like, the grossness of the movie that they've never really explored. I mean, you got the girl in front camera peeling her toenail off. He cuts his own finger off. You got the eye, the knife in the eye. They hadn't really done a whole lot like that, and that I can remember in the other ones. So, like, the violence was a little bit different in this.
Yeah,
but,
like, the violence was mostly, like, the first two was mostly, you know, people get their necks, you know, broken or, like, strangled. But mostly it's like, I'm getting shot in the head.
Yeah.
I'm getting shot in the stomach, then the head. No, this one is like, you know, I'm getting stabbed in the eye. I'm getting chopped in the throat. Like, it was, the violence was definitely up. So, you know, he goes there and you find more about his background because they're doing ballet and they're doing sambo and everybody looking like that. And then it's like, you know, you're bringing this death to me. You're wondering, like, okay, she's a member of the high table. What's she worried about? Why? And why was that the way that? And then I guess the main villain, even though they weren't doing most of the fight, Asia Kate Dillon just coming in dressed as a nines and a, you know I'm talking about badass? When they get talked trash to everybody and never turn their back or look around, like, you're going to do something to them?
Yes. Until the end, I was waiting. And when it didn't come, I was like, what? So, I don't know. I don't watch Billions, so I've never seen the lady before, that I know of at least. And when she first talked, I was like, her voice doesn't match her face. That was the first thing I thought of. Like, okay, I expected her to have an English accent or something. So when she didn't, it was like, okay. But, yeah, no, she sucked. I did not like her at all. So, which I guess is the point. And so, you know, point taken. But, yeah, like.
Well, I remember them from, I'm doing they and them because, you know, they classify themselves as non-binary, so they don't do he, she. So if you wonder, like, why are you doing that, I'm just doing that. The show that we, our show is a progressive show. No, I remember because the character was on Orange is the New Black, and at first I forgot, but then when I saw them on Billy, I'm like, oh, one of the skinheads. So,
oh, okay. No, I never watched Orange is the New Black either, so.
Yeah, so on Billions, it's like not, it's a similar type of character, but not like that evil. Definitely got like a ruthlessness to him. But no, it's kind of like, it's funny where, how important mid-management can be. It's like, you know, you help them do this, you know what's going on, you got 7 days to handle your affairs, or, you know, it's out. It's Lawrence Fishburne, Billy Badass, talking trash to everybody. It's like, you know, you gave him a gun with 7 bullets, you know, you got 7 days, and he all brushing it off, yada, 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 even though they all know, like, Angelica Houston, the same thing, like, you know, you can't, you're going to show fealty to him? Are you going to show fealty to, like, all these badass people of, like, you know, being mid-management company, they know they can't do anything, and they just accepting their punishment. And it's, I think it shows the fact that these powerful people, how cowed they are by, like, this itty-bitty person that's coming in like heels. Like, you know, at first it's like, you know, and you saw Lawrence Fishburne try to laugh it off. You saw how that ended for him.
Okay, I honestly thought they killed him off.
Everybody did.
And I'm like, they said 7 cuts. And I go, well, they didn't say where the cuts were going to be. So, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah. So I was very happy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The
Which
Matrix.
We'll get to.
Morpheus and
Neo.
Thank you. I kind of want to say Nero. I was like, it's not Nero. But, yeah, the Matrix gang's getting back together and just looking for Carrie-Anne Moss to make her way back through.
Hey, you never know. So,
might as well.
But
that'd
no.
be cool. So.
Yeah, so, you know, that happens. And then it's kind of like, you know, Mark Dacascos. I'm so glad he got his shine. And it's just funny where, you know why these movies are so good? Because it's a B-movie done with A-movie talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not just the actors. Like, the director, the screenwriters, the cinematographers. Like, these movies are shot gorgeously. Like, these are beautiful-looking movies. Like, the visuals are beautiful. And it's like, these are people that are enjoying what they're doing. And they're not, like, sleepwalking through anything and anything like that. And they do a perfect job of, we have our main, like, we have Keanu Reeves. He's a star. We'll get a few other stars. We'll get all these awesome character actors and actresses. Like, you know, they may not be big names, but, you know, they're very overqualified to do their job. We'll get the cool actors and actors in the moment. Like, you know, the last one, like the first one, you got Theon Greyjoy. Second, yeah. Second one is like Ruby Rose and Common. And this one is like, you know, Bronn. Because when he showed up, that's the first I heard people say, oh shit, it's Bronn.
Yes, yeah.
Like out loud. And it's just funny to see that. But it's like, you know, we'll get that. And then we'll get the best martial artists on the planet. And we'll just make a competent movie. Like, take the best talent that you can get and do the best you can do. And, but like, one, like, Mark Dacascos. I remember him from, like, Only the Strong. I remember him from that badass Double Dragon, that trash Double Dragon movie.
Yeah, which I had, like, forgotten about, so you just mentioned it.
And I'm like, he's been in all this stuff. He's, like, one of those B actors that's real good in the stuff he does, and he's better than the material he has. So to see him finally get some shine was, like, awesome. And he... I don't know if he's the best villain, but he's definitely the most enjoyable out of the three. Because he was...
Definitely
the
weirdest one.
You know, because, like, the first time they meet, it's like, you know, John Wick asks this guy with him, the one he kills, like, he was. That got a big-ass laugh because of just... I think it was the way he was saying his lines.
Well, because, all right, so when you're introduced to him, he's the Japanese guy with the broken language.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, oh, hey, what can I do for you? And she goes, do you want to do this? He's like, yes, I do. And you're like, oh, he's super serious. All right. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he gets a little weird, and he goes, hey, just want to let you know I'm a big fan. And you're like, wait, what? What just happened?
John Wick's famous in that universe. And it's funny, like, it's like in Logan, how, what's his name character? Can't even think of the name. The country guy. Boy Holbrook from Predator. He was like, Wolverine, I'm a big fan. Just want you to let you know. Like, you know, basically a fan, like, Wolverine's a legend in, like, certain circles. And he's like, I'm a fanboy, I admire your work. So imagine it's John Wick. Like, imagine how much of a rock star he is, like, that certain part of the universe. So, of course, you're going to run into somebody that's like, you know, if a different universe, we'd have been friends. Like, I'm a huge fan. I love what you're doing. Look at you all tired and beat up. You still out here doing it. Like, having fair fights and stuff. Because it's like, I know I got to do a job. I mean, I'm not going to enjoy myself having doing the job. I'm going to have fun doing this. It's just weird because the nature of the job is like being an assassin. So... Yeah. And, like, that last – they had a lot of time for that last fight. And I was laughing my ass off when he started doing the disappearing act the first two or three times. And then when John Wick started doing it, like, three or four times himself, it's like, okay. They know they're just messing with us at this point. They just know. It's just – because that part's always cool. 1 second you're there, 1 second you're not there. But you can do it over and over again. It just gets to a part where it's just funny because you know you're just doing it just to do it.
Yeah. And they haven't done that. They didn't do that in the last one, did they?
No.
Okay.
They did something similar with the whole mirrors thing, but the way it was set up different was like, this just seemed like it was just an awesome like museum with the glass skulls and stuff. And we're talking about them. We got to give shout out to our boys from the raid.
Okay. That was probably one of my favorite scenes because you're not used to seeing, I'm not going to bother trying to pronounce it, but you're not used to seeing him in like that kind of role. And then, well, I'm sorry. The fighting, yes, obviously. But then at the end when he's like, just stay down, you're like, oh, yeah. And they play dead?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they dead?
No, they weren't dead. Okay. They just passed out.
All right. That's what I thought they were faking it.
Yeah. After he said BC, he went in Indonesian. And he made a thing saying, like, you know, we weren't going to add that. But Keanu asked, you know, can you translate my lines in Indonesian to make it more authentic? After hearing them talk on set together. Like little stuff like that. Because they're treating him like, you know, first the other dude was making jokes like, you know, he seemed a little old. It's like, well, he's been retired for five. Yeah, he's been retired for 5 years. So, like, you know, like, show some respect to John Wick. And they're beating him up and then helping him up.
Yeah.
Like, that's straight. That's some raid stuff right there. Because this whole thing, like, you know, we want to have a fair fight with this legend. And that fight was that fight was not a short fight. And it wasn't one of those, you know, John Wick beat him in, like, you know, 10 or 11 seconds. The fight went on for like, what, at least 3 minutes, which is a long time, like, to film a fight.
And that's what I think a lot gets lost is, if you're fighting like that, even boxing, I know there was like the big one this weekend, if you're into boxing at least, and the guy knocked him out in the first round, you're like, yeah, well, if you're swinging forever, UFC's the same way, you're swinging forever, you're going to tire yourself out, let alone if you're getting hit. Or having to stop people from stabbing you and all that sort of gobbledygook, that, you know, these little 3 minute fight scenes would exhaust you. So you watch that and he has to go on to the next one, and I go, maybe that's why I like it so much. It's just, it's not realistic. All right, let's just get that out of the way. But they sure as hell make it seem like it is. So I don't know. The fight scene at the end, and then they're just sitting there, and he goes, that's a good fight, right, John? I'm like, he's got a sword stuck through him?
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, I thought you told me Ruby Rose was in this.
Apparently, that's what IMDb told. That's what IMDb in the news told me, too. They swore she's going to be. There's a lot of people they said that was going to be in it. I'm waiting for them to show up until the point where they didn't show up. And I'm like, did the internet lie to me? Because I know Cam was supposed to be in it, and then it was, like, scheduling conflicts, but I didn't hear that for Ruby Rose. So, but it was never, like, hard confirmed either. It was just one of those, like, she was supposed to be. And that's the thing is, like, you know, you're waiting to see somebody, and then you don't see them, and it's like, well, I feel cheated. But it's like, you know, they had enough people there, and they can always save it for the next one, because it will be a next one, if just in case there was any doubt about that, because these movies keep making money. No, it's kind of like, you know, like these movies keep making more and more money, and they keep the budget reasonably like low. Like the movie only costs about $55 million, which is funny because that's probably almost double what the first one costs. Yeah. But it's like you make almost $100 million global the first weekend, you straight. Like, this is a franchise for Lionsgate. Like, basically, it's like, it's one of those where they're done well, the people enjoy doing them, they're well received, and they make money.
And more money.
Yeah, and they keep making, like, you know, you don't have to spend a lot to make them, and they keep making money. So it's like, as long as that's a thing, you can keep doing them. But, you know, yeah, I saw that, the whole thing. He's sitting there with a sore in his chest. And, yeah, like, it's not, is it realistic? No. Is it fun? Yes, it's fun. And that's the whole point. You know the most fun I got? I told you in the beginning, Halle Berry.
Yeah, we haven't gotten her yet. Yeah.
I have two. One, how much training did they do for those damn dogs? Because that's, I don't think people realize how hard that is, because that's not CGI. Those are real dogs.
I don't think people realize how badly dogs do to people.
Yes.
I read
like a lot about how they had to get that. They say, you know, the whole thing is like they wanted to make sure they had it look realistic while not bringing any harm to the dogs, because like they don't want the dogs stressed out. They don't want the dogs to like be, you know, hurt themselves. So it's like, but at the same time, it's like, it's, you're doing with real dogs. So they trained the dogs. Halle Berry spent months training with the dogs so the dogs would respond to her commands. They had the dogs like know how to weigh to make the bites look realistic, while at the same time not hurting the dogs and not hurting the people. Like, these people who did this spent a lot of time wanting to make sure this was done right and correctly, because he said he wanted to do something in part two, and then he did the research and he realized, I don't have enough time to do it, so I'm definitely going to save for the third one. And he put the time in. But I'm watching this movie with Halle Berry doing this stuff, and I'm like, if somebody told me she'd been training for 20 years, I would have believed it. Because I'm watching her, I'm like, this looks very organic. And I'm just amazed. Like, this is, no disrespect, like, Halle Berry done action movies before, but Halle Berry actions, I have never seen somebody, like, at that late age look that credible. Because this ain't like Liam Neeson Taken, where you're doing, like, you know, your high and stuff with, like, yes, cuts and things like that. Or it's like Denzel doing, where I only got to move a foot each way and I can make it look badass, but I'm not really doing that much. She was out there doing it, like really doing it. I'm like, kudos to her. When she said she put the work in, it showed up on camera. She put the work in. I was sitting there doing that whole thing, just gobsmacked, like amazed. Like, kudos to you, Halle.
Yeah, all that stuff with the dogs and her. I just liked her. I liked the arc, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never really found out anything. All right, she has a kid. He helped her get the kid out. She doesn't know where the kid is. And then at the end, she spits in his water, and you're like, okay. And that's it. You're like, oh.
Yeah, she was pissed for him coming to help. She was pissed that she had to deal with all this. She's pissed at the consequences. But at the same time, she realized that she had to do this. And then it's like, shot a dog.
Yeah.
And that's how that whole thing started. He was like, you know, I get it. Which also got a big laugh, because it's like, that's how John Wick started in the first place.
Yeah, what do you say? I can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Which, all right, that's one part about previews that annoy me. Because as soon as I was like, he's going to shoot the dog. And I'm like, well, it's got the armor on. And we've seen the preview where both dogs are attacking people. So
I didn't think he was going to shoot the dog. I was wondering how. Yeah. I mean, I don't have that mindset you have, but evidently. I was surprised when he did it, because once, like, you know, Bron shows up with an Italian accent, and then the whole thing about, you know, talking about how the whole coin started and the market started, it's like, okay, like, telling us more of the history of all this. And it's like, you know, it's not a symbol of money, it's a symbol of, like, you know, I appreciate the act that you're doing, and this is my way of showing that appreciation. Like, you know, more like a social contract, which money kind of is. And then it's like, you know, I'm gonna give you this favor, and this is why I'm in return. She's like, I ain't giving up the dog. He's like, oh, all right, I'm gonna teach you a lesson, and shoot the dog. And you just saw her face like, yeah, like that was a bad move. And it's like, you know, she didn't want to get involved anyway, because like everybody was getting involved with him was ending up in a bad place. But don't shoot my dog.
Yeah, and then he didn't. She didn't kill him. So I'm guessing, did he make the High Council aware? is that what we were supposed to think, or did they just kind of know what he was thinking? I mean, there's a certain like metaphysical part to this whole John Wick stuff, especially the world like they're building. Like I said, the head of the table is in a tent in the goddamn desert. Like, wait, what? Which I know is he just showed up, but still, you know, there's that's some weird like Star Wars shenanigans.
Yeah, how come he not somewhere with central heat in this? So I'm like, because he don't need it. He can do what he want. And it's funny, like, we forget the part to show his loyalty, chop his finger off.
Chop his wedding finger off.
Mm-hmm. Or ring finger. Give him the ring. Yeah, chop the ring finger off. You know, this, you know, left-handed man, left-handed shot, you know, like, I'm here to serve. And then the whole thing, like, you know, you want to get your name, you want to get your life back, just kill Winston.
Okay, this is how I was figured we were going to round this out anyways, but, all right. So Winston, very clearly, I love the fact he's just sitting there letting everything happen, like just sipping his wine or drink, whatever he had. He's letting everything happen, and of course the concierge, he gets involved, and then he purposely says like, well, I got friends, whatever, and you're like, oh, okay, because you always kind of got that thing with him and Winston, and you know, he gave him the hour, he's always been there, and whatever else. So was Winston like playing him the whole time, or
no? Okay.
You know that it's kind of ambiguous.
It's multiple ways to look at that, because it's kind of like if he really wanted to kill John, he just would have shot him in the head. I doubt Winston's that bad of a shot, but it's kind of like, you know, you leave it up to interpretation where you're not sure, and it's like, well, you know, Winston got to take care of himself, and you know, John's on his own, because John kind of brought this on Winston's head to begin with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, I give myself some wiggle room. I tried. You saw me shot him. He fell off a building. I didn't think he's going to be alive. But it's like, you know, if you really want to kill him, headshots. You do shoot him in the head. So it's like, it's enough wiggle room where it's like, he has an out where it's like, okay, I'm going to give him a slim chance for a chance. But if you John Wick, you don't know this. It's like, he's like, you might be thinking, like, deep down, if he wanted to kill me, he would, but he did shoot me. And he didn't know if I was going to survive the fall or anything like that.
That was my thing. It's the fall. Because that's crazy. I mean, hitting all that stuff and hitting the ground, whatever else. And because the shooting, not shooting in the head, is a clear one, I thought, because he knows he's got armor on. So, I mean, that's not going to do anything. And the adjudicator, she's not stupid, or they're not stupid. I had no idea what you were talking about earlier. So it's kind of like, okay. But then also, that kind of protects her ass, too. Or whatever.
You're trying. So kudos.
Yeah, it's like,
no, because it's funny how the point is like, you know, because it's like, well, what are we going to do about John? And then that happens. And they is like, you know, kind of feeling like I might be getting conned. I'm not sure. But this better not bite me in the ass, because I'm whole thing, like, if something goes sideways, they're blaming Winston.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, so it's like enough wiggle room where it's like, because think about it, the whole thing where, oh, because they hold, deconsecrate the Continental, and then you see the Penguin show up for that
yes,
one thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, I got my special squad of high table assassins, like, what's so special? And they got super armor. So it's like, you know, you used to like John doing, you know, chest shot, headshot. And now it's almost like a video game where it's like, okay, my normal techniques don't work, so I got to put my gun underneath the collar of their armor and shoot them in the neck and anything like that. And it's like, you know, Sharon, the concierge, and all these people get gunned down. So it's like, the hell with this. We're going to get better guns. So armor-piercing shotguns. Like, that's straight out, like, I mean, I'm sure that's a thing, but that's almost like a video game thing. Like, you know, your old weapons don't work, so go ahead and get the Master Sword, like a Zelda, and use this. And it was definitely impactful seeing people just get their skull blown off with shotguns and how he's reloading it. And I think we kind of take for granted how much training Keanu does for this. Because the way he's reloading that shotgun, it's like he's taking two fingers and just sliding it across. Mm-hmm. And it's reloading. I'm like, and I know he probably did that because he probably trained for like a month just to do that. It's like, when people do these videos, I know a lot of times people take it like vanity, like, oh, this is going to show off the work to do. It's hard to be good at something. It takes effort. It's very hard to be real good at something that's so esoteric in a short time frame. Like, you have to put a lot of work in, and most people aren't willing to put that work in, and it don't matter how much they pay you. Like, money is not the thing, because, you know, Tom Cruise, like, you know, few people, a lot of people make as much money as Tom Cruise. You think Brad Pitt doing those stunts?
Yeah.
You think he learned how to fly a helicopter or learned to hold his breath for, you know, 6 minutes? You think, you know, even The Rock, who does a lot of stunts, has a stunt man, because they ain't letting him do everything. It's kind of like, it takes a certain level of training and dedication to do that. And Keanu, at his age, is doing it. And it's just like, I don't want people to kind of take for granted. And sometimes I'm watching it, and like, a lot of times I catch myself like, a lot of great people put a lot of work in to bring this to us. Like, this Goofy, you know, they kill this dog, he get revenge. Because we've seen movies like stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I can't even watch Taken anymore after watching John Wick movies.
You know, I've only seen that movie one time. And I never I liked it.
Yeah.
Because I like the matter of factness of it. It's like, if you don't tell me, I'm going to shoot your wife. Well, bang, shoots her in the leg. And I was like, God damn.
It's a flesh wound. Like, you know, I've seen all three, and they were fun movies, but it's different when you see a movie like that, where it's like, it has a great star, and the story's okay, and then the action is like, kind of haphazard, and then you see experts kind of doing that. It's like, yeah, it's like going from like eating a hot dog to like a $60 steak. Like, yeah, you appreciate a hot dog, but it's like, it's different level of expertise. When you see great stuff, you know, you can't see bad things again and like accept as much, because like, why can't you do it like they do it?
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a money thing too, because The Raid also did that. Like, you know, when you see somebody that doesn't have a lot of money do this great action stuff, and then you watch Hollywood, this is so haphazard crap, you're like, it's different if you hadn't seen it before. Like, once you see what excellence is supposed to look like, you don't accept mediocrity. It's like, yeah, why are you doing this? And it's the same thing like John Wick. It's like, people laugh about how goofy these movies are, and they can be goofy and the storyline, whatever. These are excellent movies done by excellent people who clearly care about doing the right thing you're doing. Like, you know, you got Angelica Houston in your movie. She don't need to be in this movie. You know, is she there enjoying herself playing like an evil, you know, Russian ballet teacher, you know, just talking down to John like, you know, you left and this is the type of life you got, Jadani. Look at you, dog, rough. Like, this movie, like, John Wick, for a lot of us, kind of like broken. Like, help me, please. I'm begging for your help. I'll do whatever you need to do. And you ain't used to him like being like that. So that show, like, that's how much the stakes have risen. Like, that's what they've done to this man. Yeah. Almost broke him down to like his breaking point, and then he still bounced back. And then at the end, it's like, you know, he's there being rolled out by Jason Mantzoukas, and you know, asked like, you know, you see Lawrence Fishburne, people are like, oh, he's alive. I know I said that because I swore he was dead, and then he's there just laughed like seven cuts. Ain't that a bitch?
All right, so I don't know if this happened in your theater, but when he goes, "What can I do for you?" or "What do you need?" Did everyone do, when he says, "Any guns, lots of guns," did your whole theater say it? I'll say it along with him.
Some people said it. Some people started laughing.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of us. I kind of whispered under my breath too. So, but it got a good laugh too. Like, yeah, what do you think he needs? Come on.
So, I mean, straight from the Matrix.
Yep.
And it's funny, like, you know, how you feeling? Like, and then he's like, "Oh, you missing a finger," and then he gives him the middle finger with the other hand. And then it's kind of like, you know, this whole, all these people pissed at the high table stuff, so we're going to get payback. And it just basically sets up the fourth one. Like, it's a movie that tells a great, like, it's a movie, when the second one ended, my first thought was, I can't wait to see the next one. And this one, I'm like, I can't wait to see the next one. Like, it told a great story while setting up the next one awesomely. And it takes a lot of balls to do that, because you're under the assumption, like, it's going to be a next one.
Yeah.
So they must have thought, like, you know, based on trajectory, because the first one ended like, you didn't really have to have a sequel to the first one.
Well, that's why they said they were making another one. I was like, huh? Like, when they were making the second one, I was like, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. And now it's like, well, yeah, they got to do a fourth one now. So, and money talks, man. So it almost seems like now these are inevitable until they decide to end it. But
yeah, once you decide, once you're able to release it in the summertime, and you can knock, you know, you'll be the movie to say, I know that Avengers been out for a month, but still get the brag. I'm the one that knocked out probably the highest grossing movie of all time out of the number one spot. And it's a good chance that it may make more domestically than X-Men. And it's an R-rated, yeah, because it's like they say X-Men might open up to like something in the 50s. This one made almost 60 in this first weekend. So, and these movies tend to have like long legs as far as like making money. Because really, I mean, you got Godzilla coming out in a couple weeks. But as far as like action movies, it's nothing like really in its tentpole up until Hobbs and Shaw comes out. Like you got other stuff coming out, but they're more like, you know, it, I don't know how much the overlap is between something like this and Spider-Man. I mean, it's
they're already promoting Spider-Man. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
They're all over Doritos bags. I'm like, holy God, you guys got almost 2 months to go. Like, Jesus. Man.
They've been promoting Hobbs and Shaw for, what, a month now? And this movie, and I'm thinking, like, that movie going to make a whole lot of money just for promotion. Because every time they show the trailer, people, like they either laugh or they like it, or both. So it's not going to be this whole, I didn't know it was coming out. It's like, people know this movie's coming out. And so, yeah, it's funny. This franchise started almost by accident. Because Keanu wasn't like, you know, this hot star when it happened. Mm-hmm. And I remember when it came out and people were talking about like this movie, John Wick, you got to see it. And I'm like, it was almost like The Matrix, but like on a smaller scale where you heard about The Matrix, but you didn't really know what it was. You just knew about it. And then when you saw it, you're like, I have no idea. And this one's like, I keep hearing all this great stuff. I'm thinking maybe people overreacting or like, you know, like pushing too much. And then you see it's like, I've never seen anything like this. Is like somebody took the raid with a Hollywood budget. Like that's my first thought. Like somebody really got serious about doing an action movie. And my second thought was, they just ruined almost every other action movie. And I kind of noticed that when I watched this action. I'm like, this seems so fake when I watch other action movies. And I'm like, that's what that movie did.
Did you see the first one in theaters?
Yeah, okay. I did.
Yeah, I saw it on TV.
I think a lot of people was like that.
Yeah. Because that was around the time. No, it wasn't. I was going to say, it was almost had like a Dread sort of thing. Where it did. Well, Dread didn't do that well in the theaters, but John Wick did.
Yeah, it did okay. It wasn't like a big thing, but it was like it made a profit. And then it was like a lot of people discovered it when it came on like Blu-ray and cable.
Yes.
Almost like, no, like Austin Powers was like that. Because I didn't see the first one in the movie theater, but I saw it like on DVD. And I'm like, this is a funny ass movie. And then I ran into people, it was like, they saw the same thing. So when the second one came out, that one made a whole bunch of money because everyone knew it by now. This was, and same thing with like John Wick, where it's like everybody knew it. And it was funny because it came out like for Valentine's Day. This one is like, yeah, this is a franchise now. This ain't no flash in the pan, ain't no fluke thing. It's like people want to actually be in these movies and have fun. Because if you look at the cast comes from everywhere, you know, like.
Well, it makes, I mean, and if in that respect, it kind of had to, because I mean, they established this stuff is not, you know, this stuff is not American only, or if, you know,
I'm just talking about, I mean? like yeah, I'm talking about like in regards to like the type of actors and actresses from like different fields, because you got like Ian McShane and Angelica Houston's, like the classy character actors. And then you got one of the coolest guys from Game of Thrones, one of the coolest characters from Billions, two of the top, you know, martial artists on the planet, you know, a B-movie action star you're going to make as like one of your main villains, and Halle Berry with attack dogs. Like, that's still a thing. Like, you know, when she kneeled down and the dog jumped on her back and ran up the wall, I'm like, dude, this is amazing. Like, she's sliding on the table. She's doing everything that he does. And I'm just watching this, like, when she said she did a lot of training, she was not lying. Because I'm like, this is, I know a lot of people talking about, how, like, when we left the theater, a lot of people was like, damn, Halle Berry was badass in this. Like, I know she had it. Like, I know she had it in her. Because it's funny, like, you know, Keanu's not necessarily a spring chicken, but you're not as surprised as somebody like their early 50s doing this. But you're not used to, like, a woman in her 50s doing all this. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm 52 or 53.
Yeah, and to be completely honest, you're not used to a woman doing this still.
Yeah. Like, it's still...
Regardless,
like,
of age, you're still not used to it.
Hey, you know what's real funny? I look at Atomic Blonde differently after seeing Halle Berry in this. And it's funny, even though they were directed by, like, the same, like, you know, because Atomic Blonde was directed by one of the, you know, directors. It's funny how their careers went. They both did John Wick 1. One of the guys just stuck to doing John Wicks, and the other guy stuck to, like, making action movies better. Because he did Atomic Blonde. He did Deadpool 2. He's doing Hobbs and Shaw. You know, and it's funny, like, I remember Charlize Theron being badass in that, too. Like, the action scenes were great. The story was just all over the place. But I don't like comparing, like, women, you know, because everyone do that crap. But, like, Halle Berry, you know, she brought it. I would just say this. Like, I know I've said, like, two or three times, but it's amazing that she did that with dogs. Like, it is like, that's hard. And they did it. And at no time you're thinking, like, you know, they use CGI or they use, like, puppets. It's like, no, we did real dogs and this real shit.
Yeah, and I don't think you're essentially comparing women. I think the roles are different, but then also Charlene's done some weird stuff, anyways. Like, well, I guess they both had their comic.
They both, yeah. I mean, they
TV
both
show bomb.
I mean, it's like Charlize is like really the queen bee as far as like women and action stars, because you know, between doing that, doing like, you know, Fury Road and being like a Fast and Furious villain, like, yeah, she has action chops, so she do it. Holly's done action movies, but you never really thought of her as an action star because, you know, yeah, the James Bond that people didn't like and Catwoman was trash. And then it was like she did a whole bunch of action when she was in X-Men. So just seeing her at that age doing all that and making it look believable, like she didn't have the whole, which I can't, we can wrap up. I've seen too many movies where people have that, you don't see me, when they're shooting guns, their arms just sticking straight out.
Yeah.
And like, I call it Resident Evil Underworld Syndrome, because that's when I notice the most, like, that's not how you ain't get no accuracy, like, no recoil, you just got your arms straight out, and you just shooting, like, that's stuff you used to do back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And people still doing it. You can't do that anymore. Like, people know how you, that's the whole thing with movies like this is done, and movies like Mission Impossible and even Fast and Furious. You cannot half-ass your effects anymore, because there's too many good people that's doing this stuff, like, with minimal green screen, that's like, we really know how to do it, to you, like, try to fake it. People think, like, that's cool. It's like, no. Like, I know what the good, like, I know what the good stuff is. If you ain't bring me the good stuff, I'm gonna call you out on it.
Yeah, I think that's gonna go down, like, this franchise alone. Not alone, but this franchise especially, they're going to have to get mentioned on changing action movies.
Oh, they already have.
I mean, but I don't think the scope or breadth of it's going to really be realized for a while. I think some people are saying, yeah, it's changed it, yeah, but it's like, no.
You know what I noticed? Long takes came, like, when John Wick came out and, like, John Wick 2, and then you see, like, Atomic Blonde, and then, like, the second Olympus has fallen, like, this whole, even if they, like, the long take, like, they have, like, we're going to have, they start, more movies start showing, like, more of the action, and, like, seeing, like, before it was, like, everything was all close up, and shaky cam, and quick cuts and stuff, because, like, you got to hide stuff, or hide in the shadow. This one is, like, we're going to have people, and you're going to see them do what they do, so you realize that. And Hong Kong and, like, Korean movies been doing it for the longest, but we never really got it over here, so it's like, you're not used to seeing that. And now it's like, you can, I think what John Wick has shown is it's had a divide between who knows what they're doing and who's faking it when it comes to action movies. Because you can tell, like,
oh yeah,
like, you watch the Bourne movies, like, I can't watch the Bourne movie. I'm like, I know they were cool for a lot of people. This shaky cam shit is like, no, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, is he hitting somebody with a phone book, a thumb? Like, it's just too jumbo. I can't get in that. Mission Impossible, when I'm seeing Tom Cruise really riding on a motorcycle and knowing that's really him doing it, so they don't have to, like, hide it, it's a difference. Like, that's the whole, like, you, it's at the point now where you know good stuff, and you can't do a half-assed action movie and try to hide it from stuff like you used to be able to do before. And I think that's the biggest change it has. It's just up the game where it separates the real from the fake, which is funny, like saying that in Hollywood.
Yes. It makes, I don't know. I'll say it this way. It makes the actors earn the pay more. Because some of them, you know, some people get paid a lot of money, and you're like, that's it, huh? All right. And now, I mean, they're not getting paid a lot to do these John Wick movies. And look at the time, effort, and then the actual acting, action, whatever they put into it. So it's going to be a long time before people realize what it's done. But, hell, they could still be going, too.
So. I mean, I think people started to know, because the fact that this movie, movies normally don't, like, rise up like this as far as, like, budget-wise. Like, they just keep making more and more, and, like, by a lot more when starting, like, this, such, like, humble beginning. So, yeah, the secret's out by now. Yeah. And the fact that's like, you know, you got a John Wick level on Fortnite, which is like the most popular video game on the planet. It's like, yeah, people. I mean,
bunch of
people
John Wicks running around. It's weird.
I mean, like, people know, and it's funny where we can wrap up. We talked about before, and I wanted to do a show about it. Like, Keanu Reeves. Somebody could say Keanu Reeves is like the most enduring action star of all time, and you can tell me they were wrong.
Well, okay, we'll wrap up on this, actually. Arnold's still got to be number one.
But Arnold did it for a specific time frame. Like, his peaks were higher.
Yes.
But it was kind of like he from – his thing was basically early 80s to mid-90s.
But I will tell you this. Arnold's probably not acting anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you see him take a drop kick and and put a foot forward? Everyone kept saying he fell over. The man didn't fall over. Yeah. He's 71 years old. Let me reiterate that. This man is 71 years old. He got drop kicked full force by somebody. He barely moved.
Well, two things that prove: one, Arnold Schwarzenegger is still badass. Two, wrestling has lied about the power of drop kicks. Somebody pointed out, like, that's the reason why people don't use drop kicks in real life is because you lose all your power by doing them 95% of the time. So, I mean, I know Arnold's Arnold. Like, the fact that, like, if he got thrust kicked, and it, like, it's still like, I wouldn't want to get drop kicked by somebody. And the fact that he's like, I'm just mad, I'm just happy this asshole didn't mess up my Snapchat. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a badass thing.
I just love this face when he turned around. He was like, "What? Like what?" And he goes, "I thought someone bumped into me."
And it's probably how it felt. So no, I'm saying, like, it's people who've had peaks, but as far as like duration and success, because Keanu been doing like action movies since early '90s, and it's almost 2020, and he's still doing them. And most of people is either they did it. I mean, the only argument you can make is maybe Tom Cruise. If you want to look up, like, that's it. Because Tom Cruise started, like, I guess, if you call Top Gun an action movie, either then or Mission Impossible's in, like, the early 90s, and he's still doing it. But it's nobody else. Because everybody else kind of, like, had they run, and then that was it. Like, Will Smith had his. I guess he's still going. We'll see how the Gemini Man movie does. Or, like, Bad Boys. It's like, you know, maybe. The Rock's still currently doing it, but it's like, you know, he's been doing it for like a decade and a half, and Keanu's been doing it for three. So, yeah, like, in addition to all the other stuff he's doing, Keanu's been doing this for quite a while, and it's like, I mean, he's still, what, top of his game, more or less? It's like, everyone knows who he is now, even if you hadn't seen, like, it's a generation like us. We've seen his 80 stuff. We've seen his 90 stuff. Mm-hmm. It's some younger generation that remember him from The Matrix. But now you got a whole nother generation like, oh, yeah, that's John Wick. What's The Matrix? Like, they never even heard of Point Break. They might vaguely know what The Matrix is. Like, oh, yeah, I know him, the dude from John Wick. Because, like, John Wick's not one of these. Like, The Raid is something where if you're an action fan, you know what it is. But most people don't know what those movies are about. Because it's like, it's a niche thing. It's an awesome thing, but it's still a niche thing. John Wick's not a niche thing anymore. John Wick is like, it's a mainstream thing.
Yeah, it's, even like the first one had like the small appeal. And now, by now, no, it's a cultural thing. I mean, everyone knows John Wick. Oh, the guy whose dog died. Yep, that's. I mean, for better or worse, yeah, I mean, that's exactly how these things started. So.
And I like. I can't wait to see what they do with the fourth one. And
yeah,
who would you want him to fight? It gotta be the other dude from the Raid.
Yeah, there's him. And what about Tony Jaa? He hasn't been in anything. And I actually thought about this. I mean, I know Jackie Chan's busy in China, but
it gotta be something big. And I'm thinking, like, who we have big as a fighter? Because, like, they've been in movies before, so they know each other. Like, because the dude from the Raid was in that movie. He directed the Manitai Chi. He was one of the villains in that. So they know each other. So they've worked together. Either him or Donnie Yen. Unless
that
you go
was
like
the other one I was trying to think.
Yeah, unless you're going to go like big name. And I'm trying to, because it's kind of like, you're at the point now where you can hire who you want. Like, honestly, like, the budget's enough where if they, like, they've kept it kind of smallish. I mean, like, Halle Berry's an Oscar winner, but she's not like a big, like, budget star anymore. She's more like, everyone knows who Halle Berry is. But it's like, you can get who you want.
All
and
right,
it's like,
I'll go out of the box then. There's one we always bring up for superhero movies. Tom Hanks.
They gotta fight Jeremy.
I know. No, Tom Hanks, like, is a great actor. Let's see how great he is, huh? So
Daniel Day-Lewis ain't gonna spend a year learning martial arts for a John Wick 4, because otherwise I just would have sent him.
Doesn't that seem like something he would do?
If he wasn't retired, that would be something he would do. But he's retired now. So
But that, yeah, honestly, but, like, I could, you said that, I went, wait a minute. That's exactly what he would do. He'd go to whatever secret dojos around the world, whatever, and get that real world training.
Statham would do it.
I don't think Statham fits this movie, though.
No.
Yeah, never mind.
Think about who's been in the movie. Yeah. No one thought Common would have fit these movies, and he was awesome in the second one. Like, if you, the whole thing is like this. If you are talented enough and you put the work in, you could fit in the movie. Because, like, no, how many people who knew Mark the Cast Coast was? I bet you people knew. Because I remember you go on Google now, you type in Mark, he's the second name that was coming up. It was like, people know who he is now. It's like, because I'm trying to think of if you're going to have, like, a martial artist who they haven't had that's a big enough name. It's a few. Yeah. And it's kind of like the main two, like, Iko Uwais and Donnie Yen. Like, as far as, like, Asian-wise, or if you want to go, like, I mean, Statham would do it. The Rock being the high table main assassin would just be, like, because that would just be out the damn blue, like, just for spectacle, that would just be funny.
Especially if Keanu destroys him.
Because Keanu's going to be in the Hobbs and Shaw movie, apparently, evidently, so.
Ruby Rose was supposed to be in this one, so we'll see.
I think the way they describe it is kind of like he's going to be more of a setup for the next one. Like, he's going to basically, like, be Idris Elba's boss.
All right, makes sense.
And, I mean, he's tough. You're at the point where everybody knows each other. And think about it. The director, Hobbs and Shaw, was the original director, was one of the co-directors of John Wick 1. So I'm sure he has Keanu's number on speed dial. They were friends for a long time. So it's funny how, like, that. It's funny the world we live in. Where we just had this John Wick movie, and we just have all these other movies coming out, and it's like guys, I'm looking forward in 2 weeks for Godzilla to be out. Like, I can't wait to see that. So
what is next weekend?
I don't know. When does Aladdin come out?
Next weekend. That's it.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was guessing.
Oh, this is funny. Okay, so Elise didn't know about it. So all right, so, you know, we always have these things where people are like, they made the character black, whatever, right? So she's like, did you know they're making another Aladdin? And I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, Will Smith is the genie. I'm like, yeah. She goes, the genie is not black. He's blue. And I looked at her, and I go, what? Like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard, going,
okay. I didn't know if they had any Smurfs that had acting credits.
Yeah. And I go, well, you know, he is blue in the movie. Well, no, the pictures they show is just Will Smith and, like, a whatever. I'm like, no, he's undercover. When he's blue, he looks fucking weird, though. so they're probably going to keep him just Will Smith tone. And she goes, oh, okay. Like, and I'm like, what? And I was just stunned.
They hired a black man to be the genie. Genies aren't black, they're blue.
Yeah.
How many blue people she know?
Yeah, well, I didn't think of that. That's what I should have said. And then I was like, well, you know, that area of the country, they're going to be darker skinned anyways. She goes, Robin Williams is supposed to be the genie. And I'm like, okay, never mind. We're not having this conversation.
She
gets Robin these Williams. weird yeah. things, man.
But I'm like, the genie didn't look like Robin Williams in the first one. He just sounded like
him. Yeah. Don't try and make sense of it.
Yeah, Robin Williams wasn't blue.
Yeah.
Yes, that's...
It was so that, weird.
That is
how...
That is the arguments that people make in real life, and some of them are execs. So if you ever wonder why Hollywood does what it does, now you know, and you have firsthand experience. I'm so glad you told me that story, because that's hilarious.
But this one also comes from someone who doesn't pay attention to anything. We saw a preview for a movie, I don't know how, an older one. She goes, oh, I didn't know they did that. I'm like, what? So then, yeah, but then she's up to date on this. I'm like, okay, so... Yeah, that was some weird stuff there, but I just went, okay, so... But you know what? I like the discussion that it's not... Well, no, he's not black. He's blue. Not like he's... Well, no, he's a white guy. Like, okay. Just the audacity that it wasn't going to look like the Robin Williams genie. Like, well, he's going to, and it looks really fucking weird. So, on that note, I'm going on vacation. So... follow us on Stunt Granny on social media. Look for audio updates - Stunt Granny Audio on iTunes and your platforms. And I'm out of here. So we'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and if you shoot a dog, make sure it's not in their bulletproof vest. We are out.